You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Buzz Lightyear mission log, Stardate 3901. After a full year of being marooned, our first hyperspeed test flight is a go.
Who are you talking to?
No one.
You were narrating again.
I was not. Just doing the mission log.
You do know no one ever listens to those.
I know that. Narrating helps me focus.
Ready, Captain Lightyear?
Ready as I'll ever be, Commander Hawthorne.
This is exciting. A new adventure.
I'm going to grant you 4 minutes to be off planet, but then you come right back to us. To infinity.
And beyond.
You are clear for hyperlaunch.
Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop.
Buzz, that was utterly terrifying, and I regret having joined you.
Buzz Lightyear to Star Command. Come in, Star Command.
Why don't they answer?
Hey!
Shh! The robots!
The what? What is happening right now?
Alicia?
Oh, no. That's my grandmother.
But, Socks, how long were we gone?
Meow, 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 meow. 62 years, 7 months, and 5 days.
What?
I hope you're ready for action, because all we needed was a pilot.
For what?
To destroy the alien ship. I have a plan, and I have a team. Jarvie can take any 3 things and make them explode.
I do this, and they shave a little time off my sentence.
Okay, and what about you?
Well, I thought this was going to be like a fun boot camp workout thing. But it is not.
Did I get it?
Pretty close.
Anita, anyone seen the harpoons?
Buzz!
Buzz, right here!
The probability of survival with an inexperienced crew is 38.2%.
Seems a bit low.
Mission failure imminent. In 3.
Grandma always said she believed in you.
2. 1.
There was a big swirly do. I think I need a bag.
No.
Please record your last words.
Do not vomit inside the vehicle.
Do not vomit inside the vehicle.
If you are satisfied with this recording, speak or select 1.
To infinity.
Are you trying to get me to pull your finger?
Don't fall for it.
No, not like that.
Sorry, it's a thing your grandma and I used to do.
Yeah.
And welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Someone pull my finger.
No, there you go.
Ew.
Always good to start with a fart joke.
And boring
level of...
start, guys. Yeah.
I love it for the look on Peter's face of like, what the fuck am I doing here?
No, not at all. We're just going to hand this straight over to Peter. Peter's doing the intro today, so take it away, Peter.
You literally just did it. It's done. Hi, I'm
Peter.
Take
it back. Press Hello, one if Peter. You would like to keep that intro, or press two to re-record the intro.
Thank you, Ivan.
Are you now going to do flatulence-based intros until I do an intro?
Great content, as always.
I just love that you went straight to the Mario theme, too.
I think I've just got too many Chris's on the brain.
Oh, so much Chris.
I've got a Chris on the brain.
Ah! Hi, it's even sitting on your head. Who are you and what is that on your head?
This is my Mightiest Avenger hat that I got from the premiere last night.
Oh,
just rubbing that one in. Okay, fair enough then. Great.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not feeling at all touchy about that at all.
Yeah, I'm a little early to this review, so I'll just get rid of that.
Yeah.
No, that's for next time.
I saw you actually drinking from Thor's cup. So
yeah, what?
Well,
is that a euphemism for something?
Well, I haven't seen the movie. It might be.
I've got my little.
Oh, it's a literal drinking. Okay, right. Sorry about that. I got this. Yeah.
You're having a
We look forward to your thoughts, Jill.
Is there anything? Soon.
Well, no. Jill so far is the only one that's seen it. So give us a little bit of a tease. What do you think? What are you like? This is we're talking about Lightyear. We're talking about Chip and Dale. Yes, we'll get there in a minute. But fuck all that stuff. Tell us about it.
I'm rating it a preemptive 79% awesome. Unfortunately, Ragnarok is still my favorite.
Ooh.
Didn't quite get there.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot to discuss
had
then.
A lot of fun and interesting moments, but maybe not enough to carry a plot.
Well, them's Tyken words. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah. Okay, that is very interesting.
Well, look,
they flexed on Little Bay very hard.
Okay.
Where they shot it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Featured heavily.
Heavily. Right.
Okay. Well,
yeah. But we're not talking about that. What are we talking about tonight?
No, we're talking about my other favorite Chris.
how many favorite Chris's do you have?
Just two.
Oh, okay.
You mean?
Just the thirst trap ones.
Oh, right.
You mean Chris Mulaney?
Chris Pratt.
Oh, no.
No, not that one.
Sorry, that's the worst Chris.
That is the worst Chris.
No, well, you know, stop having a go at him. He's fine.
That's an interesting choice. I've heard a back on that one.
Well, like, I'm trying to be all things to all people. Well, actually, no, Peter, what's your favorite Chris? I didn't say who, I just said what. What is your favorite Chris?
What?
I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
I feel just like no everybody is on board with the fact that Chris Evans is Chris number one, and then you count down from there.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A count down from there to how many? Just forever? Like pie? It just keeps going? I don't really like that that guy I met once in 93 called Chris. Didn't like him.
Crisp 3.1572921154.
Cool.
Yeah, all of the pie Chris's. Yes, we're talking about Lightyear.
Yes,
that's what we're talking about.
And then we're talking about Chris and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Chris and Dale.
Chris and Dale. Yes. Good one in there from Doc Forrester. Chris Christopherson, he's higher on the list. It's not very low down. Chris Christopherson is quite high.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, from Blade and Blade 2, if memory serves. That's when he was at his best.
But everyone seems to discredit Chris Cross, and I'll stand
I was going to say.
They make me Chris jump.
Cross will
jump.
Make you.
Does the Daddy Mac make you?
No, I'm not very fan. I'm not a big fan of Daddy Mac.
Okay, right. Well, okay. Then we'll stick with Chris Cross.
Okay, we've gotten completely
distracted. why are we talking about this? We're talking about Lightyear. When did we see Lightyear?
Last
week?
No, the two weeks ago. Last week we were talking about Jurassic World.
It was awesome time.
The 14th, which is almost 2 weeks ago, we saw Lightyear. And then Lightyear came out on the 16th, and now it's the 28th, and that's enough math for me forever.
Yes. I may have gone back and rewatched Lightyear again last night. So it's a little bit more fresh in my mind than, we were all talking about. And yes,
nice
haircut, Jill. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah. The chat's been saying it, but I think it's very important.
Yes, no, I've acknowledged the chat. Thank you, everybody. Yeah. Yes, I needed to feel cute again, and I think I did it.
Congratulations. Tick. So, yes, we're talking about Lightyear, which is, how would you describe Lightyear in terms of what it is to the other Pixar Toy Story films?
Yeah.
Toy Story adjacent?
I thought your job was to do the synopsis, Quinny.
Oh, I can do an official synopsis if you want, but I kind of wanted everybody to kind of give their spin on what Lightyear is to the Toy Story franchise.
It's supposed to be what spawned the toy that Andy got, but it doesn't really seem like a kid's film that Andy would have watched.
And that immediately brings me to my main disappointment about this film. Like the caption at the beginning that says, in 1995,
yes,
Andy got a toy for Christmas, and this is the film that inspired the toy. I was like, great, we're going to get a film that looks like it was made in the 90s.
Yeah. It's going to have 90s sensibilities and it's going to be all like...
I feel like they really missed a trick, making it look a little bit like a kid's film that you would have watched in 1995.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
But you know what it also made me question? Is the film animated for Andy or is it human people for Andy? That made you think, didn't it?
And at what point was this written by the Google AI singularity event that happened?
I think it's human people for Andy because in 1995,3D animation was not quite that schmick.
But Andy was 3D animated.
But this is, they've they've advanced.
They had a lamp.
They've advanced the look at it of it a fair bit.
A ball and a lamp.
Yeah.
There's not much difference between the ball and the lamp and what we saw on screen with Lightyear.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely spot on. Okay, so what is Lightyear about? Do you have some music, Dion?
Sure. Wait, hang on. Let me just make sure I'm pressing the right button. There we go. Good. There we go. Something to remind you of the 90s.
Aww. You are a toy! No. Legendary Space Ranger Buzz Lightyear embarks on an intergalactic adventure alongside ambitious recruits Izzy, Moe, Darby, and his robot companion Sox. As this motley crew tackles their toughest mission yet, they must learn together to work as a team to escape the evil Zurg and his dutiful robot army that are never far behind. They're also not toys.
A very Northwest New York accent.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it was. It was just like, yeah, wow, well, much. I couldn't remember what, like, it was maybe trying to get somewhere towards Woody?
Well, I mean, this film.
No, it was nowhere near it, but, you know.
This film just had a distinct lack of Woody. But.
I had Woody. I got to sit there for 90 minutes and hear my favorite Chris just talk.
Didn't have to be distracted by any of that face or anything like that. It
was... No, that's all in the hindbrain. Like, I can put the two of those together. I don't need to see one to have the other.
You women are amazing.
The chat is still giving us good Chris's.
I love that there was like literally like 30 Chris's that have come up instead of Chris Pratt. Let's play it. Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Walken.
Chris O'Dowd.
Chris Christopherson. It's like, fuck, okay, fine. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a very long list before you get to the Pratt.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's going to be bad for him, guys. Let's.
I'm really enjoying this podcast of pratfalls.
Oh, fuck. Oh. So, yeah, this is, as you said, the film is, you know, bookended by saying this is the film that Andy watched in 1995. And, yeah, I think the concept of Andy, who is the animated child that we saw in the Toy Story films, going and watching a movie and loving it so much that he wanted a toy is a cool concept. This is not the film that Andy watched in 1995.
Oh, God, no.
that is patently fucking stupid, and I wouldn't have even put that on the front of the film because...
Yeah, that is not a movie that spawns a toy line.
Not, well, I don't know, because it did feel very toyific to me.
If I was a seven-year-old kid just going to take a stab at Andy's age in 95... I probably wouldn't be watching such an adult space drama. I might be watching something with a little bit more pew pew and
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure the existential dread of a astronaut trying to make up for the past mistakes and reconcile with themselves in the future and also understand life lessons is probably not what someone in the 90s was going to get.
No, five-year-old Andy is not going to get the deep underlying meanings.
Yeah, everyone watched Toy Story in the 90s and went, "Wow, there were two jokes in there for adults. Amazing film, groundbreaking. Can't believe that I was an adult and went to see a cartoon animated like film and had a laugh twice."
Now, 30-something odd years later, this is I don't actually mind it as a sci-fi story at all.
Look, that's where my criticism ends for this movie, in the believability of it being a film that Andy saw as a child. Everything else about it, I really enjoyed.
It's fun and it's intelligent and, you know, it has some interesting things to say here and there. And I see Dion going, oh, I don't know about that.
It's emotionally intelligent in that it teaches you, like, a moral at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, one of the things that I didn't really understand about it was like, but why? Like, we've made this film called Lightyear about, like, so you can understand the origins of Buzz Lightyear. And I'm like, but you've done that. You did that in a cartoon.
It's not so that you can understand the origins of Buzz Lightyear. It's so that we can have another Pixar Toy Story-based film.
But it's not even Toy Story-based. Like, this isn't even Toy Story-based. Like, there's no reference to Toy Story whatsoever.
No, there is, because he says all of the lines that, that are in his buns, and they're all very satisfying when you hear them.
The, yes, they are.
Say the line. Say the line, damn it. I didn't do it.
And also a few other lines that he says, you know, that indicate that the Buzz Lightyear toy is still kind of the Buzz Lightyear person, you know, his reactions to certain things and everything. So it's like the toy is a simplified version of the Buzz Lightyear character from this film. It's fucking confusing, though. The more you think about it and you go, hang on, is the toy its own person?
Sorry, I did like that in the chat. Amy's like, yes, remember that iconic catchphrase, ugh, autopilots. Again, you know, no need. Where was Socks in the original Toy Story? His ever-loving
companion.
That
is a marketing toy.
Yeah, and also super unbelievable that there were not Socks toys all over the Toy Stories movies.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that also, to me, is the biggest plot hole in this thing. That, like, you know, okay, Buzz Lightyear, cool. There are multiple characters. Why was there only Buzz Lightyear released? And why weren't all the other characters released?
This is just a marketing.
Okay, I can forgive all of that.
This is a marketing Ouroboros. It's the snake eating its own tail. It's like, what was popular? You know, Toy Story. What was in there? Well, there's Lightyear. Maybe we can make Lightyear. We can make something about a fake brand within a toy movie that becomes a brand because it's from a movie. We're just making it ourselves. We've got all the way around and we're now eating our own ass.
Oh.
And that's
it's
it.
It's a human centipede of one.
I mean, we're taking this kids' film extravaganza tonight that we're doing. We're taking it to great places.
It's a franchise centipede. I like that metaphor there, Jill. I like the human centipede metaphor, but it's more of a franchise centipede.
Yeah.
Like, you know, something that was created in the mind of a advertising executive to sell more toys. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Fuck, I collected He-Man toys. That was just an excuse to make toys.
Yeah.
Like, sell plastic crack to kids. And I still have an addiction.
It's not a new concept.
No. Absolutely not. At least they did it in a fun way. I mean, I had a good time in the film. It was fun.
I think one of my favorite parts about this whole thing was the pitch meeting, which has one of those beautiful moments, and I'll let you go and find the pitch meeting, but there is a bit where it's like, what if it's this, this, and this? Oh, big stretch, buddy. Is there a dog in the room? Nope.
Yes, I mean, but like, I think it succeeded. Like, I can't say that I watched Lightyear and did anything other than, oh, wow, this is for the people who are just a little bit too young for Top Gun. Like, I'm just sitting there going, oh, they're definitely going to get people to join the Space Rangers now. And then when they get a bit older, they're going to watch Top Gun and be like, I want to join the Navy. And then the military industrial complex eats more children.
Congratulations for making that a lot darker than I expected. I think it's successful enough as a fun science fiction kind of thing, but the thing is, it is very definitely aimed at you know, the 30 something to whatever market.
Oh, I would have said it's a kids movie. Like, I found some of the themes a little bit junior.
That, well, yes, but then at the same time, like, you're cool.
I mean, any adult can watch a Pixar movie and find things to like about it, but this one just felt particularly targeted to younger audiences.
Except it got banned in 14 countries.
That's homophobia is a whole thing on its own.
It'll be banned this time next year in USA.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
You're really bringing the mood down tonight, Dion. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Can anyone
We're
tell
just trying to have a nice time?
Can anyone tell I'm just covering my anger with comedy? So angry, but if I smile, it's fine.
I mean, you have a huge range when it comes to Pixar films. You've got ones that are more, you know, thought-provoking, like Inside Out, where like adult audiences can relate to that quite well, but it does have a message for younger kids. For me, this one felt more on the younger side, where it was like, maybe this is a kid's movie that the adults are going to get a little bit from. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I think you're right, but then the core concept of it, and I don't really know how to talk about this without being spoilery. But
should I increase the logo size?
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
Okay. The core idea that, you know, this is about a person traveling through or losing their time. And, you know, traveling forward in time every time they do one of these jumps to the point where they have wasted their entire life doing that and then are then trying to claw back their own time is so adult. Like, that's the kind of concept that you're talking that adults think about and go, I'm wasting my life. I am spending my life doing a thing that is meant to try and make things better for everybody else, but it's not. That's some fucking hardcore adult angst bullshit.
Yeah, okay. I didn't pick that up on the first watch. I was like more hung up on his attitude of always wanting to try to fix things, not the secondary element of it.
Mm. And I mean, I did watch it again last night, so I kind of have that thing of knowing who the characters are and knowing any twists and everything, so being able to kind of see it through a different lens, I guess, maybe?
Yeah.
But... you know, the whole thing about who Zurg is, which also completely undermines Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
Which is just like, come on.
I mean, Toy Story 2 has been out for a little while. So in Toy Story 2, well, at least we can say that Zurg is Buzz Lightyear's dad.
Yeah.
Which Toy Story 2. And then this goes around a different kind of way. But I won't get to
that. What if it's like a Back to the Future thing and he is his own father?
Oh.
Again, another Ouroboros.
Yeah.
The snake impregnating its own tail.
So, yeah, I don't know. To me, it just felt like there were certain thematic ideas throughout it that felt quite adult. And then, yes, you're right, it is still aimed at kids and it's very action and it's very silly and you know, it's also not like any peril is very, very safe peril.
For that reason, I found it like while I had fun, it did drag a bit because there are only like so many times you can do essentially the same plot point over and over again before it does start to feel a bit slow and a bit long, even though there are still entertaining bits in it.
It's flabby as hell in the middle. Like the second act is very, very flabby.
Yes. The meeting.
But it's not a long film.
No, it's only 90 minutes. But like the whole part of like meeting this new crew and I guess trying to break the ice with that and move forward is a bit of a slog. A little frustrating.
And my problem with it is that the characters aren't anywhere near as entertaining as I think they think they are.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, apart from the obvious, you know, marketing opportunity of socks, which was literally written as something that could be funny, everyone else was adequate, but not engaging. I think the thing is that Lightyear as a character, like Buzz, is an engaging character because it's the troubled hero, you know. It's the hero that fails immediately that has to redeem themselves. So it's a character arc that you can follow with very easily and go through all of that. Everyone else that's sort of introduced is good concepts, sort of a bit lazy. Does that make sense?
Because it was weird. Like you start the film and you have a cast of characters and you kind of grow with them up until a certain point. And then it's like, oh, forget all that. Now we've got these new ones and we have to try and build that rapport again with you in a shorter amount of time. And it's like, nah.
And also they become quite, well, yeah, as Amy said in the chat, they're archetypal, but they are kind of a bit cookie cutter. Like, you know, Taika Waititi's character, he's essentially...
I expected so much more from that character.
Me too.
Wait, what was his name?
Yes.
What were any of their names?
There was ex-con, a guy who can't do anything right, and granddaughter of character we cared about.
Yeah. Alicia's granddaughter.
There you go.
And stopped.
Look, I watched the movie once. Mm. Quinny, you saw it twice and you still don't remember?
No. I know that the characters are, you know, there and they're cool and everything like that, but
I mean, you don't remember really Feathering Ham Stan?
Actually, he is the one that I do remember because the rookie Feathering Ham Stan.
Yeah,
is actually a really funny opening joke. So that yeah. one works. But so who have we got? We've got Mo Morrison. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, wow.
Okay. Izzy Mo Hawthorne. Morrison, Izzy Hawthorne, and Darby Steele. They're really not characters that you latch onto at all.
I mean,
I don't want to buy the action figure.
I mean, they're kind of fun. Like, you know, I found that I enjoyed each one of them, but yeah, it was quite literally like, hey, it's the Happy Meal version of people. It's like, it's cool. I buy one because it's easily digestible and I could just have it. And then after a while, I'm like, ah, that was fun. Mm. Throw it in the trash. I don't need these characters anymore. None of them really had any growth either, which was just kind of one of those things. It was like, oh.
Izzy gets a little bit. Izzy gets the growth of being afraid of space and then not being afraid of space.
Yeah.
Which makes it hard to do a movie about a test pilot in space. But this is also one of those strange things where, you know, Buzz is supposed to be a test pilot and then he gets grounded pretty much for the entire thing. And it's like, oh, cool. Well, it's set on one planet. Like,
I would say that he does a lot of test piloting.
Not being a test pilot, he volunteered to test pilot to try to get them off the planet, but he wasn't a test pilot.
Sure. I mean, he's a space ranger. Only one of the types of rangers that we're talking about tonight.
Well done.
Just to remind everyone that we still have a whole other movie to talk about.
Yes, yeah, no, you're right.
Yes. Well, we just kind of dive straight into spoilers without going into the spoiler section.
Sure, that's okay. Yeah. Would you like me to transition to a clip of Lightyear and then come back and give it a rating and then we'll go to the next film?
Sounds good.
Yes, all good right, plan. Then.
Let's have a look at the worst character on Lightyear, Sox.
Hello, Buzz. I am Sox, your personal companion robot.
My what?
I was issued by Star Command to ease your emotional transition after your time away.
Oh, well, that's very considerate of you, robot feline, but no thank you.
I'm afraid it's protocol. Sensors indicate you've missed 4 birthdays. Would you like a frosted snack cake to celebrate?
Negative. That would compromise my nutritional regimen.
We can talk about your feelings. I am an excellent listener.
No, look. I've had a very long day. It did not go as planned.
The mission was unsuccessful?
Affirmative.
Oh, no. I am so sorry to hear that.
Thank you, Sox.
You're welcome, Buzz. Shall we play a game?
No, thank you.
Are you sure? I can create a game specifically for you, based on your exact personality profile.
Hey, listen, Sox, buddy, I'm pretty tired, so I'm gonna go ahead and hit the rack.
Of course. I can provide sleep sounds if you like. I have several options. Summer night, ocean paradise, whale calls.
No, white noise is fine.
Very well.
Good night, Sox.
Good night, Buzz.
So, sure.
It's funny. It's easy, but it's funny.
Yeah.
You didn't laugh at any of the Sox moments, Dion.
Yeah, I laughed.
Not even I bought you 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the bit that cinched the deal for me because I was like, oh, I don't know about this Sox.
I like
the
basic
trank shot. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I did like basic programming, like robot intelligence that's given a task that is exponentially programmed to try and solve, and it takes 100 years. And it's like, sure, I solved it. You've been gone quite a long time, and it took me 100 years. But like, it's great, yeah. And Sox develops a personality, and that's all great, and it becomes its own little character. And I like that bit, but yeah. Also, there is absolutely no way that Sox wouldn't have been turned into a toy to come with Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only way they could have done that was to kill Sox in the Lightyear movie. And that would have decimated every marketing opportunity they had. So they just didn't do it. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah, look, okay. Right.
Do you have a rating for it? Because, I mean, look, there's a lot that you could go into there. We could go into further spoilers and everything like that. But honestly, it's not that deep a film.
I don't think we need to spoil it.
It's
more than we have.
More than we have. Like, we need to go out there and watch it. Is it worth the you know, fuck, how much is it now? $26 to go for an adult ticket to go
on
to
a
the
Monday
movies?
At on a palace, it's 12.
There you go. Go and find a cheap cinema.
What was that? Pissed off.
The audience just so cranky tonight.
He's
now we're on the exorbitant price of movie tickets these days.
Strong old man
Get
energy.
Off my lawn.
You should have seen him at work today. God, he was just amazing.
Sure. 12. I'm giving Buzz Lightyear.
No, it's not
Get
that bad. Out.
Look, I'd give it a 75. It was completely nice and normal and fine. And, you know, I had a good time. I had a good time with it. But again, it's just, it's kind of trash. Like, you know, it's got not a lot of substance. It's just kind of fast food. And that's okay. Because, you know, is it beautiful? Fuck yes. Great animation. Do all the voice cast go through it? Yes, it's fine. It's really quite nice hearing Josh Brolin and Chris, the good Chris.
No, it's not Josh Brolin. It's the older Brolin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin's dad.
Oh, James Brolin.
James Brolin.
That's right. Sorry. Well, still a Brolin.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, he's gone Brolin. Say what? Next.
Oh God. Look, I was already picked out 75, so I'm going 75 as well.
Okay. I also had already picked out 75. I'm going 76 because I feel like I liked it a bit more than Zeon did.
Yep.
Love it. It's just a straight 3/4. Like that's all we need to say.
Yeah.
Good. Solid effort. Well done. Yep.
I have, after having watched it again, I found myself going, yes, it's fine. The cat does good things and is likable. But the second time through, I realized how completely unuseful the secondary characters are and how rarely any of their humor lands. So, like, Taika Waititi doing the Taika Waititi thing, and it just doesn't land. Like... You know, he's got this whole thing about a pen and everything, and you're like, oh, it's not funny. It's just, and having Taika Waititi's voice does not automatically make a character funny.
No.
Well, it's bullshit. So, Korg is immediately funny the entire time. I'm not even going there, sorry.
So for me, it's 76 as well. It's, you know, slightly.
I love that everyone had a straight 75 and.
So 75.5 now.
Yep.
Rounded down to 75.
Okay. Well, no, we've got a few other ones in there. Doc Forrester 66, Natsuki 60. Nice.
Okay. Look, is it worth it? Sure. Am I going to buy the Lego? Probably. It's going to go down in price soon. I'll probably buy some Lego.
It was 20% off at Target on the weekend.
Up, Jill.
Tried to get you to buy it.
It's just all that. Okay, so should we go to the next film we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
I like that Peter's already getting the shoulders going for the theme song.
Well, though, but just remember.
I was anticipating it.
We're watching the trailer first, so just.
Okay.
What's the first thing that pops into your head when I say Chip and Dale? I bet it's these guys! But certainly the second would be those rascally cartoon chipmunks, Chip and Dale. What if I did something like...
I am into nuts!
good, I love it.
Great stuff!
Woo! Just want to remind you guys, I'll be at FanCon this afternoon.
Hey, watch out!
I'm keeping myself fit and, you know, my updated modern look.
Don't you think you'd have more fans here if Chip did these events with you?
I hadn't thought about him in a while. I should give him a call. See how life's treating him.
Life is the worst. Which is why you need good insurance. A message on my landline. I don't like that.
I know you.
you're still mad about Rescue Rangers getting canceled, but I've just got a call from the police and I need your help. That might be
I searched the perimeter. No clues.
Why would there be? Six missing tunes in a month and not one clue.
Oh, no!
Chip!
Gail, you look different.
It's no secret I had the CGI surgery. What's been up with you?
You know, this, that, other vague things to fill the space of this conversation.
Cool! Get along
with this healer. We can see what we can find out and then pass it along to the officer, but that's all we're gonna do.
So you're saying the Rescue Rangers are back? Yes!
You two come poking around where you don't belong, and I can't have that.
Run!
I got him!
What are you looking at?
Honestly, your weird dead eyes.
Over here!
Go get him!
This is awesome!
I was always more of an Alvin and the Chipmunks person.
You. Monster. That my
best friend, she a real bad got her own money. It was like professional. Same time. Jinx,
you owe me a non-brand specific cola.
What? That was crazy. Somebody called Guinness Book. This is incredible. My mind. Oh, we lost it. Best friend.
You've lost it in this one. Well, what a film.
I was so disconcerted when it started. I was like, wait, what? No, everything I knew about Chip and Dale is completely gone out the window. What am I seeing? I don't know what is happening anymore. But then by the end of it, I'm like, okay, this is fucking hilarious.
I'm so glad you said that. I really am, because like this is one of those ones that I remember looking at the trailer and going, that could be hilarious or it could be a fucking garbage fire of epic proportion.
I was leaning towards garbage fire because I was like, what did I just watch? Like, the trailer was batshit insane. And so is the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, this is a garbage fire of movie. It's just that it's like all good garbage fires, it keeps you warm at night and serves a purpose. But it's still a garbage fire.
I don't know about that.
You were able to.
It had a story. It executed the plot. There's a lot of comedy.
It's
Ooh, that's hard.
it to me had a.
There's a lot of
feeling.
Comedians in it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Not a lot of comedy.
My God, who invited the cynic tonight? Shit.
He's just so angry. He's like Mr. Potato Head who's just left his angry eyes in.
I want to show myself out then.
No, please stick around. It makes it far more. I remember looking at the trailer and thinking, that's a bold move. Like, if you're going to try and re-examine the rescue, like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, doing it as a kind of meta-narrative, failed, washed-up child actor story where it seems to be kind of like a murder mystery a la, is it the Happy Time Murders? The Muppet murder.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. That was a stinker.
Oh, yeah. I've never actually watched it and I fucking love Muppets.
So and this one, yeah, sort of a cross between Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know. If I wanted to see, you know, failed sitcom 80s cartoon, you know, tell me a life lesson, I'd just go watch BoJack Horseman.
Well, in some ways, I feel like this is like, I can imagine BoJack is also happening somewhere just to the right of frame somewhere.
And I'm surprised that he wasn't in there in a cameo because everyone is in this fucking thing. Like everything is in this thing. And I don't understand how they got the rights.
Non-Disney-owned stuff is in this thing. Yeah, like so completely much. Other studio stuff is in this thing.
Why did Batman show the fuck up?
Why was like all of Warner Brothers in this?
What the fuck is going on?
The licensing for it must have been fucking insane. But, I mean, of all of the things to talk about a cartoon movie, the licensing? Yeah, great. but it reminded me an awful lot of Ready Player One in that whole thing of let's put as much shit into the frame as we can. Mm-hmm. so that even if you don't necessarily enjoy the film, there's still going to be heaps of shit for you to look at and go, oh, that's that guy, that's that guy, that's that guy. Oh, I remember them. That's oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that.
Once I got across what they were trying to do, I was like, okay, so at least I know that every time someone turns up, they aren't going to act like you expect. And it is just going to be some kind of, you know, weird parody. I'm like, fine. It's just that it never crossed that line into, I think, direct negative, like, it wasn't kind of hardcore stuff. So it was like, it wasn't actually an adult movie. Like, it wasn't playing to an adult side, but it had lots of in jokes of skirting that line really, really close. And that's why I think it worked. Like,
So you would have been much happier if Monterey Jack had actually been into hard drugs.
No, the cheese thing is great. Like, that's the whole, you know, that's wonderful. It's literally heroin. It's just a metaphor.
Yeah.
Like, I get
that. Oh, yeah.
I don't need someone to come and do heroin. If I wanted to do that, I'd just go watch Meet the Feebles again. Which, again, has anyone seen Meet the Feebles?
Yes.
See, look, these are Jill. Don't. Just don't. Like, you don't want to watch that. Your Muppets will be ruined, even worse than the Happy Time Murders, which was a terrible R-rated Muppet movie.
Yeah. So, Peter, tell us your thoughts on this one, because you have thus far, and I know that you're not a big animated fan.
It wasn't unentertaining, but I couldn't shake a massive case of the Butt-wise the entire way through.
Aww.
Like, why does this film exist? I don't understand why this film exists.
Someone smoked a crack cigarette and thought it was
Rachel
a good
Bloom's
idea.
Husband, apparently. And I get it. I got it. And I had a giggle, and I really enjoyed some of the references and the super fun mixing of many animation styles in this one big, strange melting pot, and the cats reference.
I love the bit where they go into Uncanny Valley and they're just like, this is really weird down here. I don't like it. There are cats fighting over there.
I love that long conversation. Like, I'm looking right at you. It's like,
exactly. Seth Rogen and his weird dead eyes.
Polar Express eyes.
Exactly.
Like, it just somehow the whole thing just feels like a vehicle for jokes.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it stopped. I didn't get like super invested in it while I was watching it for this reason.
No.
Like, it's just a vehicle for many, many references. And that's fine.
You don't have to be super invested. You just have to be invested enough to understand that Chip and Dale had a beef with Alvin and the Chipmunks. And in this film, and they can. Because it's like, you know, it's like Toontown in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. You know, there's all of these different cartoons that are in there because everyone has those collective experiences. And this is just built on collective experiences of kids who've grown up now. And as adults, they're like, oh, I want to see all these things that I kind of remember that tickle the nostalgia gland and make it work, you know.
And there is a lot of that. And I what I thought was funny were the things that tickled the nostalgia bit, but then there'd be other bits that you're like, that is a weird thing to touch on. Like, Tigra, you know, the character from, the 90s Avengers cartoon that most people don't remember. It's a fucking weird cut.
It's a deep fucking cut. And I had a great time watching that, like, convention aspect to it, which was like,
I just about screamed when Ugly Sonic was there and he banking his whole career on being the Sonic that was axed from the movie that never actually got to, you know, be the star.
I did read.
And I love that they focus so heavily on his mouth.
Oh, the teeth.
And like, there's a bit where it zooms in super close and you can see the little hairs and everything. And I was like,
I know. This movie made me so uncomfortable, but like, I couldn't help but laugh.
But that's why, why it kind of works, because there isn't, I think there's an understanding or a collective experience now of getting there that that it's an industry, and sometimes there are really high successes in the industry, and other times there are just kind of, you know, grind out kind of places of industry. And I think Australia is finally catching up to where America was from, like, the, well, the 90s or the early 2000s, which is seeing these people trying to keep alive something that they did decades ago, and what that means for different people. Because, you know, it's pretty cutthroat as that sort of, it's kind of like, here's the sausage factory now. Everyone enjoyed the sausage from ages ago. Now here's the factory behind it. And to replicate this as parody is funny to a certain extent and also really not funny in other places. Like, I mean, I was laughing at it, but some of that I was just like, oh, there's some of this is a little too real if you start expanding that metaphor.
And it's and that's why I feel like some of the humor was actually quite clever, because it does cut a little close to the bone on, like, real life.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, every child star who, you know, has had a bad, you know, rest of life. And there is actually, I did a bit of research while I was watching, because there is an element to this that's actually quite dark and really not cool. And one of the parts of it, I'm not sure whether the writers either didn't do their research and should have, or did their research and realized they didn't care. But the whole, so one of the plot points of this one, and spoilery, whatever, I mean, is that even whatever. Naughty Pete, or whatever the fuck his name is Peter
Sweet
Pan.
Pete.
Sweet Pete.
Sweet Pete. Sweet Pete.
Is Peter Pan, who's grown up and has, you know, let himself go and is having not a good life. The dude who actually was the voice of Peter Pan in the original film ended up having a very, very bad life and killing himself.
Oh.
So after he did Peter Pan, he couldn't get work. And tried to do a bunch of other films and stuff like that, and got a drug addiction, and then ended up on the streets, and generally not a good end. And in that situation, you kind of look at this and go, I'm not sure, maybe I would have chosen a different character, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, you know, defend anyone's, like, decisions in making this, because I don't know what they did. For, like, how they were, they were doing so much, they were throwing so much at the wall to see what would stick and what would be funny and how stuff would work. I'm not sure anyone really bothered to look too deep into it, but that's not really an excuse. Although I can definitely see why this didn't get a theatrical release.
Yeah,
which is just kind of strange.
Yeah, and it is like, when they first advertised it, I thought, oh, wow, that's going into cinema? Fucking holy shit. And then it didn't. And I went, that's about what I expected. But, yeah, like, I also think there is something, like, the idea of it, you know, this sort of semi-murder mystery, you know, two friends who have fallen out of friendship who need to come together and can learn to be rescue rangers again, that's all very entertaining. But the core plot of what they're trying to save people from is this thing called bootlegging.
Yes. And I thought this storyline was kind of clever.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, if there's anything that is more what Disney sees as evil.
Yes, exactly. It's something that threatens their income.
Exactly. IP infringement.
Yes.
The worst thing that could possibly happen is that you get turned into an IP infringing bootleg or ripoff of your own self.
You know, I'm sorry about spoilers, but, you know, they ended up filming it in LA anyway, because they're going to film the real one and also control the bootleg knockoff version because they can. That's what Monopoly. I mean, it was interesting. Like, I did read a little bit about this film, and is that when it was originally, like, pitched and started to get marketing for it in 2014, it was a direct prequel to how did the Rescue Rangers get, like, you know, how did they end up becoming Chippendale Rescue Rangers? And it wasn't until much later that they retooled the whole thing to be like, nah, let's do it more of a tongue-in-cheek piss take. So you can imagine the development and the licensing and the organization that had gone into arranging people, and then they've just turned it around and been like, let's make this completely, you know, let's completely flip this kind of narrative around.
As a matter of interest, where are you all at with Rescue Rangers?
I love Rescue Rangers.
I used to watch Rescue Rangers.
I had all the little toys and all that kind of shit.
Quinny, I'm at this part of Rescue Rangers.
Yep. Okay, keep going. We get DCMA'd. So, you know.
Sure. We can
and then Disney
it,
will come for us.
Right. Oh, no.
Chip in. There, we're not saying anymore. No. But, you know, you could be on that side or you could be on the new remix side.
Oh, I thought, and I hear, I was thinking we were going to play out on that, but, you know, whatever.
No. Okay. I refuse. I refuse to play out on that mindless cash grab. Just trying to just, you know, mine the nostalgia forever. No, sure.
All of the 90s Disney stuff was my favorite. So, like, Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, DuckTales, Gummy Bears. Like,
Gummy Bears
stuff was like, mwah. There was a gummy bear in this movie.
Oh, I missed the gummy bear.
Was he doing coke somewhere in the background of a shot or something?
No, it was the one with the funny hat.
Oh, right. Okay. Because every time there was a big crowd scene, it was a pause and look to see what was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there was a gargoyle in there, I'm sure, at some or are you just saying that gargoyles was awesome because it was? you know, pause it. I looked in one and I'm like, that'll be the Transformer blaster in the middle of a high school auditorium. Okay, cool. Good. Yeah. Why not? Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you could freeze frame through the whole thing again just to find every single tiny little nod to something that someone liked.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that's kind of what the best part about the thing is, but did the overall plot work for you? Like, I get a feeling, Dion, you didn't love it, but...
Why would you think that, Quinny?
I have no idea.
It was fine for me. I think I was so distracted by, like, going, what is happening? What is... Who? Oh, my God, it's that thing. And there was a lot of, distractions. whether that was on purpose or not. Is to be decided. But I mean, I think I was still a little bit surprised by the plot twist in the end, and it was fine.
See, that's perfect. That's a perfect thing. I say I too was watching this going, oh my God, they're going weird places and they're doing weird stuff, and then some plot, and then by the end I was like, it's done, yay.
Yeah. I think I was more hung up on, like, Chip and Dale sorting out their differences and coming back together as friends. That was the thing that I was most invested in.
I just
the thing
to
is
see,
that there's nothing surprising about any moment of the plot.
No.
So it was plot, and it was plot that was constructed in a very traditional manner.
Yes. I just wanted to see more of Gadget and Zipper. And their family.
That was her fucked up.
Turns out she does give a flying fuck.
But also,
look, I also found it interesting that at the end, you know, you get to this point where the bad guy becomes this weird conglomerate of all these different concepts. And I was like, oh, okay, but does he have Optimus Prime's leg? Ah, yes, he does. And it transforms. Good. Okay. And, there were all these things that felt like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but perhaps without, like, if Roger Rabbit was a kind of comedy cartoon piss take on the noir genre, this is a cartoon piss take on the 90s detective genre.
Yeah.
And whether that works or not, I don't know.
That's a good point though. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pete, where it was okay?
It was I think it did what it set out to do. Like, I mean, I'm not mad at it. It's
like Dion is.
You know, I didn't think the plot was particularly surprising, but I don't think it was trying to be. It was a fairly kind of paint-by-numbers plot, but so was every episode of Chippendale Rescue Rangers. So, I don't think that it's bad writing. I think that everything is entirely intentional. I just couldn't shake that little itch between my shoulders of, but why am I watching this?
Because it was on the schedule.
Because we had made me review it.
Because why does it exist? I don't understand. Did we need to do weird things with Chippendale? I don't.
So if it had been a traditional remake of the Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Chippendale.
Peter, people have been doing weird things with the Chippendales for years.
Yeah. I'm just glad there was never a point where they tried to make Chip or Dale one of the Chippendales.
It's called Rule 63, and I think you'll find that it probably exists.
It's just Dale in a bow tie.
I'm pretty sure they don't wear pants anyway. So.
I like that bit. Like a second shot of it, it's like somebody just going, "You're not Donald Duck. Put some pants on." But okay, yes.
Oh, rule 34. Yeah. Thank you, Etsy.
It's a rule.
I was close.
Yeah, one of those. He did star with the Chippendale. Sorry, I forgot that bit. Okay, there were elements that I was like, oh, okay, like the ugly Sonic, I thought that's a funny gag. But then for it to be a recurring gag that they came back to, I was like, oh, okay. You know, the Seth Rogen jokes. I was like...
Just have his laugh keep coming in with all the different characters. Like, okay,
that he's ever voiced, and you're like, oh, okay, that's bizarre.
I fucking also love that they got the Coca-Cola polar bear.
Yeah, that was really
and who just kept... And Baloo.
Yes, yes.
All of that kind of stuff was just like, that's kind of funny. Like, you know, I can see that.
Mm. And that, you know, in the background of a shot, you've got an animated car, but then next to it is one of the cars from Cars, you know, dropping its kid car off somewhere. And you're like, this world is fucking weird. And then you've got a character who's claymation. And you're like, what are the rules? And that is one of the things that I think is fascinating. What are the rules of this world?
Yeah, there
are no rules. And that's fun. Like, I didn't mind that. And I actually, you know, really enjoyed that concept of, like, let's throw every visual style we can think of. And I really kind of, you know, I liked the commentary, I guess, on all of these 3D remakes that are going on of old properties, most of which I haven't seen, because I just feel like it would be weird to see Lion King like that. But, you know, it's a fun nod to those things. You know, it's fun. I'm not mad at it. It's fine.
And thank you, Rob, for reminding me of all of those stupid ass posters and trailers throughout, like Batman versus E.T.
Yes.
Mr. Doubtfire. all that kind of shit I dig. But sorry, I did ask the question. Would this have worked better if this had been a traditional remake of Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
I mean, I enjoyed the reboot DuckTales series that they did. So if they maybe kept it in line with that, just kind of modernized it a bit, I would definitely 100% have watched it. But it doesn't exist, so I couldn't tell you what the plot would be or anything like that.
Yeah, you're suggesting a very different thing, Quinny. Yeah. I don't think there was ever an intention to actually reboot Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Well, but that's what I find interesting, because everybody is looking to the past now, and we're going, okay, what of these nostalgia things? Can we dig into the nostalgia mind, draw it out and turn it into something, repackage it and sell it to a new generation? And I think this one's really interesting because they've looked at it and gone, can we drag Chippendale Rescue Rangers out of the past, put it into the new generation and turn it into something? So, well, no, we can't do that.
Or we could have, but let's go in a different direction and make it like sell to the, instead of trying to recapture the parents' nostalgia to get the children into it, just attack the parents' nostalgia, make it a spoof. And, you know, and get it out there in a way to go, hey, did you watch that? It was fucked up. Like, there's nothing about this. You don't say, you know, you don't sell this to people who are going, oh yeah, it's a great, like, you know, cool film about if it was real. It's like, no, they just fucking threw everything out there, and they had no rules about who they could attack or they couldn't, and they just joked hard at it.
Yeah. I think the thing is, when there's a property that they want to bring back, the pitch goes out to everybody, and then all the scripts come in, and then they pick the one that they think is going to work. And whoever picked this crack baby is one sick puppy at Disney.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, they still made Movie 43 or that other one, the Sausage Party. Like, I mean,
No. Why did you make me remember that existed?
I was surprised that none of the characters from Sausage Party
turned up.
What about
Emoji Movie?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, see, they can make that stuff. Or Angry Birds the movie. Like, I mean, all of this shit exists.
Why wasn't that stuff in this one?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it probably was in the background. I mean, when Mr. fucking, no, not Mr. Garrison, one of the characters from South Park is in the sauna at one point.
Right.
And you're like, fucking righto. Okay, everything's on the table.
It's just, yeah.
The thing I kind of find myself comparing this to, and like whether you, it's fucking weird. There's no two ways about it. But the other thing that came out in a similar time period that I think is similarly intentioned would be the Space Jam sequel.
Oh yeah.
And that's a film that is all about going back and trying to do something from the past and doing it again. Mm-hmm. And then shamelessly diving into nostalgia and IP and catalog and all that kind of stuff and just throwing shit at a screen and going, do you recognize this? You know, there's a basketball sequence where you've got characters from a horror movie that are like these nuns from a 70s fucking Argento horror movie standing next to characters from A Clockwork Orange in the crowd.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm. That's Space Jam, just, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just double checking there for a second.
Yeah, I was like, did I lose the thread of the conversation for a second there? Are we still talking about
I don't
Space
remember
Jam?
The droogs in
they
this
are
one.
Standing beside
they
the
are.
Fucking
in the second
basketball.
One. We're talking about the second one.
Yeah, Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
No, Space Jam Legacy, the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one where they did the weird shit.
And that's the thing. Like, if you look at this in next to that, you've got two things that are both doing the same thing, which are digging into nostalgia and flinging it at a screen. But I think this one does it with a certain amount of love, or at least a certain knowing kind of, you get it.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one is just like, fucking have it.
Yeah, yeah. This one's more a little wink and a nod and yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Rate it. Shall I go first?
Sure.
I'll go first.
Yes, please.
So I gave Lightyear 75. I'm going to give this one 80. I liked it more than Lightyear, but only because it was insane. And yeah, the first 10 minutes I was very uncomfortable because it spun everything on its head that I knew about Chip and Dale or just life. And then I was on board and I'm like, yeah, okay, this is wild. I'm just here for the laughs. And I had a fun time.
Nice. I'm actually very much on board with you on that one. I will go next. I actually rated it 85. I had a lot of fun. Like, I know you kind of horrified, but like, I watched it and I laughed and I thought that's goofy and fucking weird. And like every time something appeared on the screen that I went, what the fuck are you doing there? That just worked for me. And so, I mean, am I going to look back on it in the same way that I look back on Ready Player One? Maybe. I don't know. But I don't know. It still felt like there was an amount of kind of care and love in there. Okay. Go on. Somebody else do a rating.
Dion's face. I think Dion's face is doing the rating. Without Dion having to say anything, which is fine.
I can't put that into the thing, though.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm going to say. You go, Peter.
I don't know. I feel like I enjoyed watching this less than I enjoyed watching Lightyear. So we go under 76. And what was the last thing that I just wasn't mad at? That weird Matrix movie. What did I give that? Like 69, 70?
That Matrix 4. Fuck, you were generous.
I was like over generous with it, but I was like, that was terrible.
Pretty sure I only gave it a 12, but okay.
maybe I rated it lower. It's 68.
Okay.
I just didn't engage. Like, I get it, but I didn't engage with it.
You don't have to.
Well.
Yeah.
I like that the chat is now also rating things Dion's face out of 100.
Perfect. It's all, yes. I live to give.
No notes.
Yeah, it's like,
Yeah, yeah. He does need some North
I'm
Star
just
going
to stare bleakly at the screen going, here I am judging you. Oh, God. Chippendale Rescue Rangers. A completely bland entertainment for anyone who doesn't or hasn't seen any of this stuff. The only reason it's funny is because of the references that it has that it goes through. Like, yeah, the only reason I enjoyed it because I got almost every single one of those references and I was like, wow, that's kind of like a movie full of deep cuts. But again, is that good enough to put a whole movie through? Not really. When I go back and thought about it, I was like, this movie is like absolutely kind of terrible. And the only reason I was having a good time is because I was getting all of these kind of deep cut nerdy jokes and that they were self-referential and tongue in cheek, you know? So I kind of like, I had a nice time watching it, but also I've kind of like, oh man, I couldn't really give it any more than 50. Like it's just right on the fence. It's like, could I recommend it to people? I'm like, no, am I going to see it again? Probably not. I don't really. But then, you know, unlike Ready Player One, where I had a great time watching it, and then I came back and sat down, let it digest, and I went, wow, that was terrible.
So when your spirit left your body, that was the one that reviewed the movie.
Sure. I'm happy to get up and, like, you know, I'm happy to go to a thing and enjoy stuff and be like, this is great. And then later on I go back and pass it and go be like, wait. No, that was real bad. That was dumb.
Always tend to rate based on my level of enjoyment rather than based on any form of critical analysis. Like, did I have fun watching this movie? Yeah.
I love that. It's a rating.
Bits of it gave me a giggle. Do I think it's a marvelously, put together film that's going to make any textbooks on filmmaking? No.
No,
not at all. That's fine.
It's the way the voice modulates. No. Nothing good comes from angling up at the end of a word. Yes. Oh dear.
Dear.
Look, you know. Congratulations. We've gone through what actually has turned out to be two very mediocre Disney films. But also slightly entertaining, but also kind of mediocre. Like, you know. Yeah. But that's all right. We're allowed to.
Yeah.
And we're just biding our time until we talk about Thor.
This is true.
Which is soon, by the way, because we're at the end of the month and we haven't released the schedule for July yet.
No, what a nice hat you have.
Yeah, but, where did you get that hat, Jill?
I got it at the premiere.
You're supposed to say only
red
at the show.
Carpet premiere.
Ooh. Was the carpet actually red?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Sometimes at those things, they don't have red carpet. It's like,
did the carpet match the drapes? Hang on. No.
Oh, whoa.
Now that's a little bit too much information for you.
No, I was talking about there were curtains. There were like what? No, anyway.
Did you get cinema?
Both your mother know you weareth her drapes.
Did you get to see my mates Tykes and Hemo?
I fucking did. They came in and spoke about the movie. They answered a few questions.
They were talking about the movie, were they?
Yeah.
They're talking about the movie.
He's from that movie. I didn't get to see like them on the red carpet, but they came into our screening before the movie started and they did chat. So that was very nice. Apparently excellent. Luke Hemsworth was there as well. Didn't spot him.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh.
They're only allowed one photographer per Hemsworth brother. So it's just kind of like they can only focus on one at a time. It's just not how they work. What have we got coming up then that we're reviewing? Soon.
Well, Friday night we've got Animates, our Pride Month. Even though it'll be after the Pride Month, but you know,
only just
we tried.
It's still Pride Month in the Northern Hemisphere.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Let's go with that.
There you go.
Why not?
Like time
we're sneaking
zones.
It in.
Yeah, it's still Pride Month on that.
I wouldn't say the Northern Hemisphere, but like the Western Hemisphere from us.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. The top half, there are parts of the top half that are in our time zone.
Much like Pride.
Yeah. Whether you're a top half or a bottom half, it's fine.
Some for the power.
As Amy says, be there or be straight.
And then next Tuesday, what are we talking about? Just so people can get ahead before I put the schedule up, which I really
don't know, Dion.
Made
I
for Love, remember. And there's two seasons of it on Stan, so you best get in
Have you fucking started watching it yet or what? Oh, good. Good.
Five or six episodes. I'm really enjoying it.
I have
very interesting.
So thanks,
Dion.
I need to do a lot of cramming. Made for Love. Is that about a poor, toy maker named Geppetto?
It's the Pinocchio reboot. Surprise!
This is the Del Toro Pinocchio reboot, so it's dark and weird.
And we'll get back. That's coming up next Tuesday, so good luck to people who haven't seen it or need to try and cram through like me. You know, I can do it on a weekend. It's fine. I'm only playing D&D. That doesn't take very long. Get that D&D done in about 2 hours and then go straight back and watching television.
Also, I imagine that a lot of people will be struggling to find time because they also have to watch the final two episodes of Stranger Things.
Is it just two?
This weekend?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
how
it.
We have to wait longer for that.
We're cancelling D&D.
July 1st, my darlings.
What a weird little gap they've done.
Oh. I think it's a very, very interesting, and I know we're running out of time and everything, but I think it's a really interesting marketing tool. To go, here's your first seven episodes or whatever it was, and now we're going to take a 3 to 4 week break to make sure that everybody's caught up and that the conversation has all come to the same point.
Should we shit-can Made for Love and just do Stranger Things season 4?
No.
Because I've seen...
It would be a marketing ploy, or it could be the last two episodes weren't quite ready to deliver yet ploy.
a distinct possibility. Yes, only two episodes, but one of them is 1 hour and 30 and the other one is 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So
that could have been more than two episodes, guys.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
But that's my thing, though. I like to do that with a binge. Like if I'm not going to quite get through all 10 episodes, I'll save the last two.
Yeah.
Because the penultimate one's always going to lead into the final and I can't have a break between those two. So it's always safe to save the last two, in my opinion.
Yeah. And they are usually a two-parter. You know, they feel like they are the story. Rob Franklin's asking the question, what is Made for Love and where do I watch it? It is on Stan. A brief, vague synopsis, Pete?
It is. It's a kind of a dystopian, futuristic take on bad husbands and narcissistic sociopaths.
Yeah, it's like
it's a bit Black Mirror.
It's more of a factual story about Mark Zuckerberg and his trapped wife.
It's half hour comedy, so it's pretty easy to digest. They're only 26 minute episodes. It's sci-fi kind of, very much about controlling partners and yeah.
And narcissistic dark. Sociopaths.
Definitely
not. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Credit Kanga also brings up Midwich Cuckoos, which I have watched all of, and it is a very interesting watch.
Cool.
Yeah. It's around, it's on from Sky, so it's a British series.
I based. Like Keeley Dawes, so I'll check it out at some point.
Yeah. It's an interesting, very British sci-fi. It's got that kind of British small town village kind of attitude, but it's at the same time it's still kind of creepy and horror and it's fun. So yeah. Right. Okay, I think that's us. Mm-hmm. And now the chat gets really excited and starts talking about all the things we should be watching. we've got a lot to decide about what we're doing for July, but I guarantee you
no,
that...
No, we don't. It's okay. Already set.
Yes, it's in the calendar. Fuck's sake.
In last month.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's all sorted.
We might have to sort out maybe August will have to be a bunch of twofers to catch up for everything. We'll
maybe fire. I was just telling them. Maybe this was all just trying to make it look like we're
whoops.
Being...
Wink, wink.
Pull back the fucking curtain and there's me peddling.
Okay. Speaking of peddling, thanks everyone. We'll see you on Friday or I'll see you on next Tuesday for Made for Love. Makes
yay.
Sense? Okay. We're going out. We've got to go out.
Well, you've got a song that we should definitely go out with. But
yeah, I'll add that into the podcast. You don't get that on the live stream.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Too much.
It's a bonus.
I have to press the button. It's all the way there.
Okay, well, shall we go and raid Barjo?
Sure, we'll go raid that. Have fun. Okay.
Yeah. Is he there?
Yeah, he's there. Well, maybe. Who knows?
See you all. Bye.
Bye.
Bad guys see double when they're around. The chips are never down. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-bandit. Rescue Ranger. Ch-ch-ch-ch-bandit. Where is danger? No, no, it never fails. Once they're involved, somehow whatever's wrong, it's all.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.